Yep, us crazy green divas are still here,
reinventing ourselves yet again.
Now we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube.
You can find our videos and podcasts on all the usual places.
Still sharing low-stress ways
of living a deeper shade of green.
Hi there. Welcome to the Green Divas Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And we've survived Valentine's Day 2021.
Yes, we didn't get to do our show in time for Valentine's Day, but we survived it with the weather catastrophe that we were...
I can't even... All of the snowstorms and ice storms are all kind of melding together now.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I love winter. Don't get me wrong. It's just a lot right now. And when you're trying to keep chickens alive, it's a lot more.
It is. And I spoke to my friends in Austin, Texas.
Mm.
And
yeah,
their weather... It's colder in Austin. It was nine degrees a couple hours ago when I spoke to them, to a friend.
Climate change? Much? So we had this whole show prepared for Valentine's Day. What we decided we'd end up really talking about today is chocolate. We were going to talk about chocolate as like a small segment, and now we're like the whole show. Just talk about chocolate.
That's just, there's so much to tell about chocolate.
There really is. And
at every stage.
We love it. We love it. And Lisa's got a wonderful Green Divas at Home segment.
With our new sponsors, Caraloha, that makes bamboo products. And we love the sustainability practices that they use. And we love their towels and their fabrics.
Yeah,
and...
they're all about home linens that are just luxurious and really good for the planet and even healthy and clean for us.
Yes, we'll talk about them a little bit later.
So before we move on, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners and our viewers and all those who are sharing and caring about what we're doing here, and invite anybody who's new to please follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and find us on your smart speakers. We're all over the place.
We are, and we got some new subscribers, so I want to thank them.
And you can find out about all of this, and we tend to do, in almost every show, a detailed post. Every once in a while, we don't, but mostly we do.
And we
when
will.
We say we do, I think. Anyway, go to thegreendivas.com.
That's D-H-E, greendivas.com.
We've been practicing that for a while.
Years.
So let's talk about chocolate. Like, why wait?
Okay. Please.
Can I tell my Dr. Oz story?
Please. Yes. Please tell your Dr. Oz story.
Okay. So a few years back, I was doing a lot of television shows, and I got contacted by Dr. Oz's producers, and they said, could you, as a foodie, I guess at that point I was doing a lot of food stuff, could you come up with some kind of recipe for the Dr. Oz show that has a hidden healthy food in it? And I was like, sure. And I had just been making avocado chocolate pudding with my daughter as an obsession.
Yum.
It's so good. Depending on the avocado. Anyway, so she's like, great. And she calls back, Dr. Oz is asking if you could make avocado brownies. And I was like, well, I don't have a, you know, but of course I just said, oh yeah, of course. And then me and my daughter in the Green Divas test kitchen all weekend long, covered in chocolate brownies. And we did come up with a really good recipe, which he loved.
Of course he did.
I wish I had this segment because it was really fun. And
yeah.
he was actually really sweet. I actually, can I say actually anymore today? I was surprised how genuine and nice he was.
I've heard that about him.
Very sincere. Anyway, it was the one segment of that show that never made it online. And I never got a clip of the segment, which is, it's okay. We move on. So anyway, but that recipe, and I will put it in the post that we're going to do for this show. It's a good recipe, and it's, oh, here's the surprise. I just thought it was a hidden healthy food, you know, a little healthier version of something. I was totally surprised and had no idea what he was doing, and until we did it on air, and he explained that avocado is very high in protein, and people don't normally know that. I was like, what?
No, they don't.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And like a half of an avocado has 8 grams of protein.
Quite a lot
So I learned this on air as he was doing it, and I was like, huh? Anyway, so it's a great recipe and it's almost healthy.
It is healthy.
Yeah.
If it's dark chocolate.
Yes, exactly.
As it is, by the way.
As it is. So I just have, we have so many posts about chocolate on the website over the years. Like, literally.
We can have a chocolate page on our website.
We could probably just do a whole chocolate website. But, you know, because it does impact the environment, the production, the growing, the distribution, and how it's made into food all impacts the environment, social justice, our health,
climate change,
all of it, all of it. Anyway, I stumbled upon one of the posts we did that had some history of chocolate, which I thought I would just give you a little 101 on the history of chocolate, a little chocolate lesson, chocolate history lesson.
No, I was saying, I'm going to sit back and drink my tea while I get this history lesson.
So it dates back as far as ancient Mesoamerica, which is, you know, South America, Central America, and
the Americas.
Yeah. It derives from cacao plant beans, which are fermented, roasted, and ground, obviously. There's evidence that suggests it goes back as far as 1900 B.C., not 1900.
Not before COVID, but before Christ.
Before that guy, yeah. When B.C. meant before Christ, yeah. 1900. So it was a huge part of the Mayan and Aztec royal and religious festivities. Priests used it as offerings to the gods, which is a little nicer than, you know, the human sacrifice thing, I think.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I would take the chocolate. Anyway, and as the conquistadors took control of the Mayan and Aztec empires, the cacao beans were used as tax payments. It became like a form of currency.
Huh. Interesting.
Again, I would take the beans. I would take the cacao.
Especially if you know what to do with them.
Right. Well, there's that. So once they were brought over to Europe, that's when the beans got sweetened and lightened and refined with sugar and milk.
Those
and,
damn Europeans.
Yeah, yeah, and became more of the chocolate that we know now. In the 19th century, John Cadbury, we've all heard of Cadbury chocolate, mm-hmm. right? He developed and emulsified the process that created the solid chocolate and modernized our chocolate bar as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Such as it is.
Yeah.
The Brits almost ruined chocolate.
They really did.
They almost did.
So it didn't change much until the Industrial Revolution, where, you know, mills were created and chocolate was able to be mass produced. So there you have it.
The one thing I noticed when I lived in London in the 70s, and we would have the same candy bar names as some of the candy bars that they had there, but they weren't the same candy bars under the wrapper. It was very strange.
That was the same thing with cars. Remember when we were in there in 1984? Uh-huh. Spent the summer and we rented a Ford. And I was like, this is not like any Ford I've ever seen. It was actually a cute little sporty car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was fun. And we went home and I'm like, that's not the same Ford. So obviously, we've all learned over the last few years that there's a lot of benefits to chocolate.
Oh, thank you, God.
Usually attributed to dark chocolate with over 70% cacao.
Mm-hmm.
Cacao? Cacao? It's such like a weird word, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Anyway. So as I was saying, you know, dark chocolate was like the food of the gods during the Aztec times. And it is high in fiber and minerals like iron and magnesium. Which us girls
which
need.
We need.
Well, it makes right. a little sense when you learn that and you're like, okay, now it makes sense.
That's why I'm craving it.
Hello. So Dr. Michael Greger explains the connection. He has a video in nutritionfacts.org, which, by the way, will be on the post for the show. But he talks about the very real connection between arterial health, our arteries, and chocolate.
I'm like, okay,
I'll eat more.
One more point for chocolate.
I know, right? I know. Yeah, so there's a lot of research that backs up those claims.
The bioactive compounds of dark chocolate may also be great for your skin.
Isn't that cool?
Hello. Can't you tell I eat chocolate?
All right.
The flavanols can protect against sun-induced damage, improve blood flow to the skin, and increase skin density and hydration.
Dark chocolate also contains several chemical compounds that have a positive effect on your mood. No crap. Right? Chocolate can make you happy. Anyway, I'm going to try to say this word. Chocolate contains phenylethylamine. Phenylethylamine.
Something like that. Or PEA.
I swear to God, I went and looked up how to say that. I've listened to it like 10 times.
I believe you.
I spelled it out phonetically here and I still can't say it. Okay. So it's also
known. But you get an A for effort.
All right. So it's also known as PEA, which is weird. But anyway, that's the same chemical our brain creates when we're feeling like we're falling in love. It's like dopamine, right? Endorphins, dopamine, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but dark chocolate.
Happy stuff.
Yeah, dark chocolate can make us feel happier. Like it literally can.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I like this one personally, but I'm not sure I believe it. But the one study suggests that eating chocolate regularly is linked to lowering your body mass index, your BMI.
Well, maybe if you get enough caffeine, it makes you move faster or something.
But
I don't know about that one.
I gotta clean the house.
I'd like to believe in that.
So this was a bummer, a post that I uncovered when I do my research for this topic. I look on our website, see a dozen posts, and then I go and I see about updating them because some of them are a little older. Mm-hmm. And I was one that I had forgotten about that. It was a big thing like 3 or 4 years ago about chocolate containing cadmium and lead. I know. What the hell? These heavy metals
in my
chocolate.
What did you learn?
Well, that it does.
It still does?
It depends on it. It comes primarily from the fertilizers used to grow. And it doesn't get, I think they thought it would get baked out in the processing, but it doesn't. So again, here's another reason to be organic.
I was just going to ask you, so.
And fair trade. So I went a little further, and there are now regulations in place that were not before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people made a stink, and that's good. And I'm going to post in the post for the show. There's a page in Confectionery News that talks about how you can avoid chocolates that have cadmium and lead in it.
Okay. Mostly it's organic. Are the things to look for, right?
Yes. And we talk about that here a little bit when we talk about the impact on the rainforest. I mean,
oh my Lord.
The rainforests are incredibly important and they are disappearing at some astonishingly painful rate, right? I mean,
for so many reasons.
Didn't we have a statistic recently that you talked about like a football field disappearing every minute or something?
I did.
It was one of those kind
atrocious.
Of like, what?
It was, yeah.
Anyway, sadly, chocolate can be, because that's what's happiest grown in an environment that near the equator where the rainforests are. So,
and with climate change, what's happening like with coffee, I'm guessing, is that they have to go to higher and higher. There's a certain altitude that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And that altitude has to do with temperature, so that they're having to go higher and higher, which is going to limit. So I'm going to guess, I don't know about what you research, but I'm going to guess chocolate's going to get a little more expensive and harder to find than as coffee at some point.
I didn't see that, but it's probable.
I mean, it grows the same way as coffee beans, right?
Well, if we're trying to preserve the rainforest, then they should stop clearing all of what they have to do. There's two ways that they, I had read, there's two different ways that they grow coffee cacao. And one of the ways is the burn and clear thing, which is the most prominent way. And
right.
It's quick and dirty for them.
Dirty.
And terrible, terrible for
The planet, for all the people that live nearby.
And the rainforest. So
the rainforest.
Ivory Coast of Africa has lost more than 80% of its rainforests in the last 50 years, mainly to cocoa production.
So what do you look for to not participate in rainforest?
Well, so there is rainforest certified chocolate. You know, the Rainforest Alliance does have a certification, which is good to look for. Of course, there was this little weird controversy a couple of years ago where they discovered that some of the companies that were being certified were still using child labor.
Oops.
So in addition to rainforest certification, really fair trade is the other certification or whatever they have approved, like fair trade approved. There is like a sticker. Anyway, that
which tells you that they're paying attention to the lives of the workers.
So what I found was a list, which I will post on the post for this show. So you know you're getting one for this show that is fair trade, because fair trade also incorporates sustainability in their, you know, production, and or usually it's organic as well. So I looked at that list and I was happy that like Trader Joe's is on there.
Yay. Trader Joe's. Yes.
I guess their own chocolate. Yeah.
Yes.
And Dove bars. That was kind of a surprise. Isn't that a happy thing?
Cry. So the thing about Dove bars, I don't know if you remember this. When our dad was sick, the last thing, he just struck me. The last thing that he was able to eat basically was Dove bars.
I kind of now remember that. Wow.
And I.
So back then they were probably, you know, using children, but now they don't.
Right.
So it's good. Thanks.
Sorry.
Thanks,
I couldn't help going there.
No, that's okay. There's UTZ, which we talked about, and rainforest certifications as well. Mm-hmm. But you just it's a little bit dicey, but I'll put that post up. So there are a lot of companies that are.
So far, the three things that we've talked about that we really need to look for when you're buying chocolate are organic, fair trade, and rainforest certification.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there
just
are
catching
lots
up.
And there are plenty of chocolate companies that are doing that, all of that. And it's, thank God.
Thank goodness.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to be cheap or anything, probably, but
no,
that's okay.
That's all right. And maybe if you spend a little more money, you'll be a little more conservative in eating it and make it last longer.
I like that.
And not overdo it. This is how my brain works when I'm spending money on stuff I like.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. So now it's time for GD's at Home.
Sponsored by Caraloha, which are home goods made from eco-friendly bamboo.
And their tagline literally is soft, cool, clean, and green. And the stuff really is. And the other thing that they say is a comfy way to save the world.
It is.
And we can testify.
Yeah. It is soft.
Trying the products. I have the towels. Whoa.
Do I.
I have a towel.
And a t-shirt. Oh my goodness.
I'm a little jealous about the t-shirt, but yeah.
So I'm going to talk about IKEA. I read an article in Grist from Alexandra Kirkman, the February 2021 sometime
it's pretty recent.
I know, right? That I've always liked IKEA. I mean, we all laugh about the bookshelves from our dorm rooms, or actually in my case, my kids' dorm rooms. Mm-hmm. But I have always admired their everyday goods that are made stylish so that they're less disposable. And I've actually built three IKEA kitchens in
amazing.
Yeah.
I always see all that stuff whenever, you know, like the once every 5 years that I go to IKEA. I always marvel at the kitchens and I'm like, who builds a whole kitchen out of IKEA?
That'd be me. No, they're very practical. They look fantastic. They're lighter. I could go on. But more importantly, I want to talk about the commitment that IKEA is making for the future of this planet. I don't know if y'all realize how big they are, but they're huge all over the world. I forget the statistic about how big they actually are, but they're huge, like Amazon huge.
Yeah.
And so that they have the ability to influence suppliers and customers and deforestation and everything that they do, everything that they touch along their...
Right, the supply chain out to the customer.
So 80 years ago, they used to just be all about creating a better everyday life. And that's where
they
started.
It's not a bad way to be.
No, but their new commitment and drive and motto, or whatever you want to call it, is to become climate positive, not just climate neutral, climate positive by 2030, and not 2050, 2030. This is an enormous commitment, and they're all in.
That is. They're like ahead of most countries.
Right. They are, and hopefully they will get us to follow suit. Anyway, they're addressing everything from the manufacturing to the transportation, even the food in their restaurants.
I know. You know, I'm a vegetarian, and you know, those little Swedish meatballs smell so good, but I don't eat them. But apparently now they're going to have plant-based Swedish meatballs.
They are. I was going to talk about...
We have to go there. I'm so hungry.
We're easily influenced by good food.
I know.
They have
chocolate, too,
and they've got good chocolate, too.
Sorry.
I have so many details about, like, the meatballs and the commitments that they're making there. And it is... I mean, they are even aware of the damage that the meat does to our planet, that they've made this commitment because of the number of meatballs they actually sell.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Astounding.
Right.
One pillar of their new commitment is to aim to be 100% circular.
I like that.
By 2030 as well.
And that's another talked about that in terms of textiles last week, right?
We did.
Coming around cradle to cradle.
Right.
Right? Not cradle to grave.
Exactly.
I love it.
I love it, too.
You know, and IKEA, talk about home. Like, you could really... We need more companies like IKEA, just saying.
Well, hopefully, because of IKEA, we will get more companies like IKEA. They're going to influence their suppliers. And they have the power to say, if you don't give us stuff the way we want you to give us stuff, then... We'll go to somebody else.
Can be bitchy, but at the same time, very useful and influential in a positive way.
Because I know this has been used by the Kmarts and the Walmarts and
Whole Foods and Amazon
and all these other companies that they've had the power to sort of stress out suppliers.
Right. But, well, you know, used for good. Okay. I'm on board.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like it.
Now, let's just, for instance, we'll talk about wood. Oh, gosh, there's so many things I would have talked about. But wood.
But wait a minute. All of this will be on the post.
We'll have it on the website. So.
Sorry.
60% of IKEA's furniture is made with wood.
Right.
So they definitely have a commitment to not contribute to deforestation. And in doing that, 12% of their wood is already recycled, and the rest is certified by Forest Stewardship Council, which is an organization that they were founding members.
FSC certified, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're quite aware of the importance of protecting vital carbon sequestering trees, plants, and soil. So the company now owns 136,000 acres in the U.S. And they own...
That's a lot.
Yeah. And they own some 630,000 acres across the U.S. and Europe.
Well, it's comforting that there are some folks that are committed to stewardship that are in charge of a handful of trees there.
Right. And another way...
613,000
acres.
Acres. That's a lot.
And another way that they are protecting wood and reducing the use of wood while still not using other products that are not good for the environment is their veneers. You know, we've looked at their veneers. Well, they've innovated their veneer, and it now saves 40% more wood, which is replacing, and when they use that veneered wood, which is layered and layered and layered, it's also stronger than, and so it's replacing steel and aluminum, which is a very energy intensive product. So, besides energy, it's the mining, all the stuff that goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a new material that they're innovating, rice straw. Rice straw is not unlike bamboo. It's very kind of woody. And and once they harvest the rice, the way that they traditionally have gotten rid of it is to burn the fields. So they're going to use that product and turn it into material. And that will reduce an enormous amount of pollution in northern India, where a lot of this is made.
Well, that is a circular idea, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Wow.
So they spend a lot of time in R&D, research and development. They are very heavily invested in wind and solar and in influencing customers. Okay, here's a new thing that they started in 2020.
I love this.
It's called the Black Friday campaign. During its Black Friday campaign last year, it conceived as an alternative to Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
IKEA stores in 27 countries offered to buy back and resell thousands of used home goods.
That's awesome. Hashtag buyback Friday, which is
really
cool.
Forget to say that?
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say.
Hashtag buyback Friday.
I love it.
So not only have they tried this and they worked and it worked. If they wouldn't necessarily give you cash back, but they'd give you a 30% to 40% discount on your next item, depending on the shape of the item that you return.
Yeah, but at least it's not going into a landfill. They're probably something with it, right?
Well, here's what happened. If they resell it, that's where they're going to either resell it. What they couldn't resell but was still usable, they donated to COVID-19 communities in need this year. We can count on them to have recycled what they couldn't use in a proper way. So it's becoming such a success that they are opening stores that just resell used IKEA furniture.
Well, you know, it's a good time for that kind of thing. There's so many people struggling. So, A, they're donating to the people who are struggling during COVID-19, many of which are struggling with homes and homelessness, probably. And anyway, so it's fantastic.
And giving all that stuff a second life.
Yeah.
Which is...
I'm thinking of this giant IKEA bureau that I made for my daughters that basically started to fall apart. We killed it. And nobody wanted it. I was like, come on, this is still good. Like, we fixed it up. And I felt so awful. It just went off to the dump. So, yeah.
All right. Well, so that's my story. There's so much more. I will put it on the website or on the post so you can read more about the things that they're doing. But keep an eye out for IKEA. And when you have to buy new furniture and stuff, buy it from somebody like them who are looking after the planet for us.
Yeah. And Caraloha, the sponsor of this segment, is also. So it's... And they're at caraloha.com. I'm just going to mention them because, you know, they sponsored all that cool work you just did.
Yeah. And there'll be more. So... we look forward to doing more homework on home goods.
Yeah. GD's at home. Green Divas at home. Well, that's it this week. You got chocolate and IKEA. I mean, it's not a terrible show, right?
And Caraloha.
And Caraloha. All right, folks. Well, have a great, safe green week.
So, what'd you think? Let us know. And in the meantime, follow our YouTube channel. Follow the Green Divas on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media hangouts. And now you can ask your smart speaker to play the Green Divas podcast.
And I have a favor. Please share this with your friends. Thanks in advance.